Welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News for Wednesday, June 14th, 2023. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. And we're going to be joined coming up here in a few minutes by J.D. Rucker from Discern Report and thelibertydaily.com, which is, I think, the best news aggregation site out there right now. I think they do the best job. And we got a lot of breaking news. Trump now pleading not guilty to the, 57 bogus charges? We'll talk about that. Also, we'll ask J.D. Rucker for his analysis on that situation. I want to bring your attention to our news aggregation website right now, censored.news, which is also pretty good. And we have hand-picked headlines here on top is what you're seeing, followed by the auto-spidered headlines from news sources like the Epoch Times and LifeSite News. Look at this. Wow, GoFundMe hosts sex change surgery fundraisers for minors. Think about that. So GoFundMe won't host any fundraisers for Christians that want to oppose child mutilations, let's say, or anyone who opposes LGBT indoctrination of children. But if you want to raise money to mutilate children, GoFundMe is your choice. That's what's being reported by the Epoch Times. Also here, InfoWars and other websites as well. Now, I want to bring your attention to the first story here on RT, actually, which is quoting Reuters right here. Key African economy to abandon dollar in trade with BRICS, according to Reuters. So it's Egypt this time. Egypt is in talks to use local currencies with India, China, and Russia, the news agency reported. So here we go. Another day, another report about another country dropping the dollar. How long can this go on? I mean, there's only so many countries in the world, right? With Brazil working with China and Saudi Arabia and Russia and Iran and here's Egypt. It's just every day another country. So the utility of the dollar is not going to last much longer, that's for sure. There's also another story that's in RT and other news organizations, but this is fascinating, that Russian soldiers have seized American Bradleys and German Leopard tanks that were, quote, abandoned by Ukrainians in the battle. And apparently these vehicles, some of them still have their engines able to be started and operated. So it seems as if, and here's a video of some of these armored vehicles and what was going on. And this video shows one of the engines still running. This is the tank that we showed you in the photograph yesterday, well, among several tanks. Just apparently had its tracks blown off with artillery, and yet the rest of the tank is perfectly good, but it was abandoned by Ukrainian soldiers, which is not an unwise thing to do. You know, you don't want to sit out there like sitting ducks just to get blown up by helicopter rockets or something, but Russia is touting the capture of this these Leopard 2 tanks and mine-clearing vehicles, whatever else they got their hands on, plus some U.S.-built Bradleys. So not only have NATO forces lost this hardware, but it's fallen into the hands of the Russians, who are no doubt reverse engineering or, you know, trying to figure out vulnerabilities of this hardware. And things aren't looking good for the West right now in Ukraine. All right, next story. RFK Jr. has come out in an interview, and he says that the water supply is turning kids into transgenders, which is exactly what Alex Jones reported years ago and that we confirmed, because it's the presence of the weed killer called atrazine. Atrazine. So right here, RFK Jr. channeled Alex Jones just the other day in an insightful interview with Jordan Peterson. He discussed the challenge of the nation's youth, talking about Gen Z and mental health issues and so on and so forth, and he did not hold back about the actual causes. He talked about the water supply. He believes there's a direct connection between water supply and sexual dysphoria. So again, RFK Jr. nailing it once again. Because atrazine, which by the way, we are able to test for in our laboratory now. We've completed the validation of the atrazine methods on mass spec. Atrazine is a gender bender chemical, and it's the second most common weed killer after glyphosate. But glyphosate doesn't cause chemical castration. Atrazine does. And atrazine is all throughout certain sectors of the food supply. And when you consume it, it literally causes gender dysphoria or can cause, the expression of opposite gender in terms of your physiological development, especially with young adults. So this is part of the answer of what's happening, why there are so many people who think they're in the wrong body. They are victims of chemical exposure from the agricultural chemical industry. And RFK Jr. gets it. Jordan Peterson gets it. The corporate media, which used to speak out against pollution, now doesn't any longer, unless it's CO2, which isn't even a pollutant. The corporate media thinks that pesticides and herbicides are perfectly okay now, and probably heavy metals too. You know, anything that creates more mentally ill youth is okay with the corporate media. All right, now speaking of contamination and pollution, Zero Hedge has a story here. White House set to approve depleted uranium munitions for Ukraine. So here we have a weapon of mass destruction that leaves behind radioisotopes contaminating the environment after the battle. So the United States will be following the UK now, Great Britain, in pushing these depleted uranium munitions into Ukraine, which will only contaminate Ukrainian soils and farmlands for decades to come. So just as the U.S. used depleted uranium or DU shells in Iraq and portions other countries in the Middle East like Syria and so on, this is going to happen in Ukraine. And Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe, arguably, especially Central Europe. And as a result, the U.S. is going to be sort of semi-permanently damaging the ability of farms to operate in Ukraine to produce safe food, because the food will be contaminated with the radioisotopes from the DU. So this is part of America's attack on the global food supply in order to create scarcity, in order to inject famine into these geopolitical issues, and also to make people more dependent on government handouts for food. Once again, the U.S. empire is at war with humanity, including the people of Ukraine. I mean, this is an assault of a weapon of mass destruction on the people of Ukraine. This doesn't hurt Russia's farmers. It doesn't hurt Russia's food output. This hurts Ukraine's food output. So anybody in Ukraine that still thinks the U.S. is your friend, you're delusional. The United States is actually working to destroy you, your country, your economy, your young men, your population, and your food supply. And just right on schedule. So here's Zero Hedge was also covering the trophies of Russia capturing a Leopard tank and Bradley vehicles with engines still running. They're being called trophies. This is a major kind of propaganda victory for Russia to look at this hardware and think about how easily they destroyed it. Look at this. This is the graveyard of Western tanks and mine-clearing vehicles and Bradleys. And you know, there's a much larger picture we showed you yesterday. It's just what an embarrassment to the West. And can I say that, you know, NATO and the U.S., they thought they were fighting Iraqis in the desert. And the desert is tank country. You know, if you're commanding a tank, you want desert because you have, you know, long-range visibility. You don't have a lot of cover. You know, the enemy doesn't. And if you're a tank commander in the desert, you can just pick out targets and hit them from, you know, relatively long range. And you're the supreme, you know, military machine on that battle space. But Ukraine is not a desert, it turns out. And all of these advantages that the U.S. thought they had with night vision and infrared equipment and, you know, trying to sneak through a mine field at nighttime just because you think you have better optics, you know, turns out Russian mines also blow up at night. So your night vision doesn't stop mines, by the way. And this lesson is being learned the hard way. By NATO and the West. Okay, getting to the LibertyDaily.com, some headlines here that are relevant. Trump pleads not guilty to all 37 bogus counts brought by the Biden Department of Justice. Notice, of course, that the DOJ will never prosecute Hunter Biden for the contents of his laptop. They will never prosecute Joe Biden for bribery, corruption, fraud, and treason. They will never prosecute Hillary Clinton for, well, nor Bill Clinton, for that matter, going all the way back to Mena, Arkansas, right? and a whole long list of body bags that will never be found. These people never get prosecuted. You know, Anthony Fauci will never be prosecuted by the DOJ. Only Trump gets selectively prosecuted because we are living in a banana republic. And it's selective prosecution. The laws apply to thee, but not to me. And this is what the Democrats are running right now. It's disgusting. The American people are rejecting it. And if we make it to Election Day in 2024, I believe the Democrats and all of their tyranny and the fascists and the censorship and the money printing, the inflation, the war, all of it, the open borders, the child mutilations, it will be rejected so resoundingly by the American people that we could end the Democrat tyranny for generations to come. So let's focus on that goal to peacefully, through elections, eliminate the authoritarian's grip over our country and our future. And the way to do that is through elections, through the ballot box, while defending election integrity so that they can't cheat. Of course, they will try, but they won't be able to cheat as much as they hope because of some interesting things that have happened. All right. Now, Greg Rubini on Substack says this about the Trump indictment. I'm just going to read a few lines. What we have learned in the last 7 years is that the DOJ is totally corrupt. The FBI is totally corrupt. The CIA is totally corrupt. The Trump indictment is a nothing burger. It's based on the Espionage Act, an old law of 1917, which is 100% unconstitutional. It will be thrown out very quickly. The obstruction of justice charges, well, they're based on the Espionage Act charges, so there's no obstruction of justice either. Bottom line, the whole thing is a nothing burger. It is a clown show to grab media attention and to distract from the Joe Biden bribes and corruption issues, which are very real. 17 audio recordings of Joe Biden bribes, $5 million in bribes from Ukraine for Joe, $5 million in bribes from Ukraine for Hunter. Much more to come from Ukraine, communist China, Romania. A well-oiled pay-to-play scheme, which has been going on for decades, selling Joe Biden influence to the highest bidder. More indictments will come for Donald Trump in the coming weeks and months from Georgia and from Washington, D.C. regarding the FBI Soros D.C. police January 6th trap. More nothing burgers. Regarding the Trump indictment, it is very simple. The deep state, CIA, FBI, DOJ, Pentagon do not want Trump in the White House ever again, and they are literally terrified by that prospect. There is no doubt that Donald Trump will win the Republican primaries for 2024. DeSantis has no hope. All right, so here we are. It is clear Trump is going to win the nomination for the Republican Party. It's not yet clear what's going to happen on the Democrat side. I'm rooting for RFK Jr. to get the nomination on the Democrat side. And if those two men win their nominations, then that alone is a major victory for America. Regardless of which one of those two ends up in the White House, it is a move in the right direction for this country. And as I was asked yesterday by my own crew, you know, who would I support in RFK Jr. versus Donald J. Trump? Well, it's too early to tell. Let's see if that's actually how it ends up. I hope it is, because again, we win either way. And then it's just a question of subtleties. Will Trump address the vaccine issue? You know, what will RFK Jr. say about the climate hoax, as we know it is, the CO2 hoax? You know, there are issues where we may not agree with either one of these individuals, but those are the minor issues. On the major issues that matter the most, restoring freedom to America, ending censorship, ending the deep state, frankly, RFK Jr. and Donald J. Trump are on the same page, believe it or not. And both of them are, in their own ways, heroes for America. So let's just, if you're a Democrat, do everything in your power to get RFK Jr. the nomination. If you're on the Republican side, do everything in your power to help Trump get that nomination. And then we get there, we'll regroup, we'll have a team play from that point forward, we'll announce it on this show, what we're going to do, and ask for your help, and we're going to take this country back peacefully, lawfully, and we're going to demand the prosecution and the arrest of the tyrants and crooks and criminals and fraudsters like Fauci who put us in this position that we're suffering under right now. We're going to call for prosecutions. We're going to call for investigations. We're going to respect the rule of law in this process, by the way. The corporate media will not be successful in trying to get us to pick up arms or anything crazy like that. We're going to do this peacefully. We're going to do this correctly. We're going to do this through due diligence and the rule of law. But we will succeed in the end because the tyrants will be thrown off our shoulders. We will take this country back for we the people and the future of human civilization, a future that I believe can be rooted in freedom, liberty, truth, and transparency. That's what I stand for here at Brighteon.com and naturalnews.com. That's why I built these websites. That's why I publish this information. That's why I do this show. That's why I conduct interviews. This is what motivates me each day to come here and do this. I believe in the future of human freedom. Now, related to that, by the way, AMD reveals a new AI chip to challenge NVIDIA's dominance. So this is the end of human freedom. This is a Skynet moment of AMD. This is kind of like the Terminator 2 movie where the Terminator came back in time and was trying to destroy the microchip. Here it is. This is the new AI chip from AMD. NVIDIA has, they're ahead of the game on this. They have a lot of AI chips. And if we don't stop this, we're all going to be overrun by artificially intelligent Terminator robot overlords, by the way. And that's not going to be a good scenario for any of us. We will have to have another conversation about how to kill AI robots when they attempt to exterminate humanity. We need to have experts in here on how to disable and kill robots. So that should be an interesting show. In the meantime, if you want to support us and also kill the bacteria in your mouth that are causing horrible effects in your mouth and maybe bad breath, check out our oral health products. I've got them on my desk here. We've got colloidal silver mouthwash in multiple different flavors there. We have tooth salt, which is something that you may not have tried. It's a very refreshing experience. And then we have this amazing toothpaste that we formulated. It took us a lot of time. It's peppermint plus anise with just pristine ingredients. This is the toothpaste it's instantly become my favorite toothpaste of all time. And I use this exclusively. Plus, I use the mouthwash products night and morning. You're going to love these. They're all available at healthrangerstore.com. And also coming up on Father's Day, we're going to have a Father's Day event, and we're giving away some survival cordage, which is the ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene cord, a braided cord that you can use in survival situations. We're giving away some of that with certain purchase amounts on the Father's Day event, and we'll bring you more news about that coming up soon. And, big shout out to all the dads out there. Thanks for being dads. And also, of course, to the moms. I mean, gosh, where would we be without moms and dads? We'd be nowhere. And that's what the left is trying to inflict upon us. And along those lines, here's a story about that. Target stores, this is from Newsmax, Target stores in 5 states now receive bomb threats after removing some Pride Month items. And so here we go. We have more left-wing terrorists threatening to bomb Target stores. Local news outlets in Louisiana, New York, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Oklahoma received emails from anonymous people, i.e., left-wing terrorist lunatics who want to mutilate children, about bomb threats at the location. One threat claimed that 2 of the stores already had bombs in them, and then hidden inside the store products. The email reads that, quote, "The bombs will detonate in several hours. Guess which ones have the bombs? Time is ticking." Oh, gee. And ended with the date 4/19/95. Now, that's just an effort to distract people because that's an Oklahoma City bombing date. This is actually left-wing lunatics trying to pretend like they're right-wing people. But actually, we know who hates Target for removing some of the Pride displays because Target didn't want to commit total corporate bankruptcy and financial suicide. So these are left-wing lunatics threatening to bomb Target stores. And by the way, this, guess which ones have the bombs? Time is ticking. That reminds me of Die Hard 3? I think it's Die Hard 3, Simon Says. I think that was a really great Die Hard movie with Bruce Willis and Samuel Jackson. and I believe the late Jeremy Irons, who was an extraordinary actor, but nevertheless, a little Hollywood trivia. Remember that movie? remember what the Bruce Willis character, he had to wear a sign on the sidewalk? Remember what the sign said? Oh my gosh, you realize that that movie could never be made today? Because it was punishment, and he had to wear this sign that was a racial hatred message written on that sign, and that's how that movie opens up. But go back and take a look at that movie and recognize that it could not be made today at all because of all the wokeism. But anyway, aside from that, remember, Target does want to target your children, and left-wing lunatic child mutilators want to target Target stores. So it's like, where does the chain of insanity end in all of this? You got a retailer that wants to mutilate your children's genitalia, and then you have the genitalia mutilation pushers that want to bomb the retailer for backing off a little bit from the child mutilations. It's, could you ever imagine that we would be in this place in America in 2023? I mean, I don't even know where you go from here. It's totally, completely insane. But here to bring us a little bit of sanity in the world, we're going to join now with J.D. Rucker from Discern Report and the Liberty Daily. And J.D. is a very level-headed guy, is a great analyst, a great researcher. And he and I, we have a lot in common in terms of how much information we absorb each day and how we're connecting the dots. And you're going to love this interview. It's a great conversation, right on the money, and all about current events that affect you and, frankly, everybody in the world today. So let's go to that interview with J.D. Rucker. Stay tuned. That's next here on Brighteon Broadcast News. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, the free speech video network. And today we're joined by one of my favorite reporters, analysts, investigators. J.D. Rucker is his name. I've had him on before. It's been probably far too long. His website is called discernreport.com. And he also is the editor of The Liberty Daily, which I actually think is the best news aggregation site out there today above any others, including my own, by the way. So J.D. Rucker, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on. I think you're doing extraordinary work, extraordinary writing and reporting. Welcome. It's great to have you.
Damn it, Mike, you make me blush right off the bat. How can you do that? That's just wrong. I'm very humbled. Thank you for having me on, sir.
Well, you are an example of the fact that hard work eventually pays off. You put in the effort, you do the work, you know, it's tough. Somebody on your staff, and you, I'm sure, is scouring the internet for the most hard-hitting breaking news stories, and that's what people find on thelibertydaily.com. It's amazing. It's not easy.
I know it's definitely not, but it's a lot of fun. I mean, it gives us the opportunity to really be able to stay on top of things. You mentioned staff. You know, this is a two-man gig. It's me. I'm the editor, and Matthew Burke is the owner of the site. He's the one that actually started the site way back in 2015, 2016, around then, and as an alternative to Drudge. And now, yeah, between the two of us, we have to read through sometimes 1,500, as much as 2,500. Individual headlines per day mixed across 250 to 300 sources, plus whatever anybody else sends us. So right. It's hard, but it's good because, again, I get to stay on top of things. I get paid to do what I would love to do anyway if I wasn't get paid to do it. So it's good stuff.
Well, I'm just going to give you major kudos for that because my crew knows this as well. But every day before I do my show here, I'm checking your site. It's the last thing I check for show prep to make sure, like, if there's something breaking that you have there, I got to cover it. And very often that's the case. So you're doing amazing work. Keep it up. And Discern Report, by the way, discernreport.com. I have it on my screen here. As always, thank you for republishing some of our stories on Natural News. You're always welcome to do that. And I mean, so is everybody. But, you know, you have a great sense of what's important and what isn't. But right now, here we go from your website. Where'd it go? Trump pleads not guilty to all 37 bogus counts brought by Biden's Department of Justice. So this is the big breaking news right now. Give us your commentary, please, J.D. What do you think's happening?
Well, it's the big breaking news because that's what they want us to be focused on. They don't want us to be focused on the Biden bribery scandal. They don't want us to be focused on everything that's happening, especially as it pertains not just to Biden, but to Ukraine. They don't want us focused on any of the 25 other major threats, major scandals, major lies that are being told to the American people. Dave, you know, I tell people whenever there's bad news for the powers that be, bad news for the deep state, the powers and principalities, or, you know, whoever you want to call it. A lot of people say it's just the Democrats, but it's not. It's the uniparty swamp. But whenever there's major bad news, you can expect some other news to be thrown out there. And they've been sitting on this indictment. They've been on these charges for a long time. They just like, oh, crap. They're really finally coming out with this whole Biden's getting bribed thing or got bribed thing. So, well, you know, we need a big one. Okay, what's the biggest thing we got? You know, aliens? No, nope, aliens didn't work. All right.
Yeah, they tried here, the 10-foot aliens.
Yeah. Let's get an alien video. Nope. That's people are kind of scratching their head on that one. So, yeah, let's just throw Trump out there. So is it the biggest news? Of course. You know, unfortunately, just the fact that the news is being pushed onto us doesn't change the fact that this is still a former president of the United States, who should be the sitting president of the United States, being charged for major crimes, and they are bogus.
Yeah.
So it sucks that we have to cover it, but we have to.
Well, okay. So two things, but doesn't it show that they really are terrified? The Democrats are terrified because they know that Trump can beat them again. I mean, he's already beaten them twice, and he could beat them a third time. And I mean, honestly, just through deductive reasoning, if they weren't terrified of Trump, they wouldn't even bother with these indictments. You know, if they had the 2024 election completely locked up, they wouldn't need to mess with this. So it shows their vulnerability.
I believe so. But here's the thing, and this is the part that I think sometimes gets missed. Missed is the wrong word. I think that there's too much emphasis being put on 2024 with this. We have to understand something. Okay, the elections don't start until next October. Anything that happens between now and next October is essentially can be erased, can be debunked, can be whatever. Okay, and we know this from the 2016 election and the 2020 election. 2016 election, we saw all kinds of bombshells dropping about both candidates. You know, this is why they called the October surprise. It wasn't until the big bombshell about Hillary Clinton in October of 2016, that was the one that ended up sticking, you know, not to mention that nobody liked her and everybody loved Trump. But then we fast forward to the 2020 election and all these things about Joe Biden. Oh, he's hiding. Oh, he's this. Oh, you know, Hunter Biden is a criminal. James Biden is a criminal. Jill Biden is weird and all this other stuff. They didn't actually get scared of anything until October of 2020 when the New York Post tried to release information about Hunter Biden's laptop. That's right. When they started freaking out. That's when so I'm not suggesting this has nothing to do with 2024. I just look at this as if the Biden scandal hadn't come out, okay, then this indictment would never have happened. Not at this point. They saved it specifically for when they needed to suck the air out of the newsrooms. And this is it. Now, but to answer your question directly, is this ammunition that they want to use against Trump? Absolutely. Would they have rather used it next year? Yes. They would have rather waited until, you know, right around the primaries. It would have been a great time to try to take him out and get some, you know, get Mike Pence or somebody else to be the nominee. But they needed to pull out their biggest gun because they're trying to protect old Joe.
So by your analogy, then you may be implying that they don't really have a lot more ammo against Trump. They had to roll out the big guns now. Maybe they've moved too quickly.
Donald Trump, there's one thing that they've learned, and this is where he's very much like, I would say, superior to both Bill Clinton as well as Barack Obama, as far as his ability to be immune to scandal.
Yeah.
They threw out their big guns in 2016, or so they thought. You know, they thought, oh my gosh, you know, here's this video of him saying this. Oh, here's him saying this. You know, and they were completely outmatched. They had never seen anything like him on our side. They knew that it could be done, that you could manipulate media and that the people could be made to ignore certain things with Bill Clinton and more so with Barack Obama. But in 2016, they learned, oh, crap, we can't just, you know, throw out scandal and have it stick to him like it would stick to any other Republican candidate before or even after.
Right.
Okay. If you had said those things about, if you revealed the things that Trump was, you know, allegedly did or participated in back in 2016 with porn stars or whatever, if you would unleash that on like a Ted Cruz or a Ron DeSantis or whatever, they would be done. Donald Trump was immune because people have that understanding, that expectation of him. Fast forward to between 2016 and 2020, and that's when it's like, you know, none of this is going to work. We can't just throw scandal at him. We got to throw legal stuff. Throw impeachment. Here, throw two impeachments at him. Let's arrest him. Let's charge him in New York. Let's charge him in Georgia. Let's charge him federally. This is all they've got. And this is where, how we know you're, like you said earlier, they're terrified of this guy.
Yeah, they really are. And also, you know, speaking of scandals sticking to people, what's your take on Senator Grassley now coming out and talking about this apparent audio recording of the Burisma executive saying that they recorded these conversations with Joe Biden and Hunter Biden that reportedly, now, again, I haven't heard this audio yet, maybe we never will, but they're saying that this audio shows Joe Biden accepting bribes or kickbacks for favors and you know, what have you. What do you think about that? Will that get buried or does that have legs?
Well, it's Chuck Grassley. Let's be clear. Chuck Grassley is not one of those guys that, you know, goes out there and throws things against the wall, you know, and throws out rumors. Okay. He's as far as congressman goes, this guy, number one, he's old. Number two, he won't say it unless he's sure he can show it. Okay.
True.
He's not Adam Schiff. He's not even like Matt Gaetz or, you know, those on the right who might be a little bit more speculative, we'll say, with their accusations, or Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, with Grassley saying it's like, oh, crap. I can say with a 99% certainty that, yes, he's heard this audio. Yes, they've checked the audio. Yes, it's there. And yes, the Biden crime family is compromised by a major, at least one that we know of, a major player in Ukrainian business and politics with Burisma. That's, I mean, you know, you ask the question, if they can, let's put it this way. If they can bury that one, and they will do everything they can to do that. If they can bury that one, then let's just call it. The nation's lost. We have absolutely zero discernment. We have absolutely zero ability to take something that should be the biggest presidential news in the history of our nation. If we can't recognize that, and we're off here looking at, oh, look at these, and you know, this, look at that. If we can't even focus on the biggest scandal possibly in American history, then maybe we deserve everything we're getting right now, Mike. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but that's the dumbest thing ever. If they can pull the wool over our eyes on this one, we don't even deserve a nation.
Well, but let's war game this, though, even from the point of view of Republicans. Is it a fair argument to say that Republicans would rather face off against Joe Biden than whoever might replace him? Because let's say if this kind of scandal takes him out, then the Democrats are going to find somebody else who might not be an Alzheimer's patient, you know? So,
you know, well, here's the thing. If you fast forward to before the primary, before it was certain in 2015 and 2016, before they knew for sure that Donald Trump was going to be the nominee for the Republican Party, you know, he was going on Stephen Colbert, he was going on Morning Joe, he was getting interviewed and getting softball interviews from every leftist journalist they could find. They were loving on him. They were just, I mean, the Colbert one always stands out to me. And the reason I bring that up is because, as you asked Democrat strategists back then, you know, who would you rather not see as president? You know, Ted Cruz, maybe they would have said no to Ted Cruz, or a Marco Rubio, or a Ben Carson, or a Jeb Bush, or a Donald Trump. Who's your worst case scenario as president? They would have been like, oh, we definitely don't want Trump. We don't want Cruz. He's kind of right wing. Probably don't want Carson. You know, that doesn't fit. But, you know, let's get Jeb Bush or something in there. But they rooted for Trump because, like we're about to do here, they gamed it out. They strategized. They outsmarted themselves. They thought that Donald Trump would be the person that would be the easiest
to defeat
for Hillary Clinton to defeat.
Right.
So when you ask that question, would we rather have Joe? Would we rather, you know, or would the Democrats rather go up? I'm sorry, would the Republicans rather go up against Joe Biden, or do we want to go up against like an RFK Jr. or Gavin Newsom or Michelle Obama? Right now, the answer is obvious. Of course, I'd rather take Joe, but I'm not going down that road because to me, it's a question of he's evil. He's bad. He's not just got dementia. He's clearly corrupt and maybe the most corrupt president in our history. And we're a country that had Bill Clinton and George W. Bush and Barack Obama. So, I mean, we know corruption. He's worse than all of them, you know? So,
yeah. Plus, he sniffs little kids.
I'm not going to try to strategize.
Yeah, he's a kid sniffer too.
He sniffs kids, and he probably raped at least one girl or one former staff, not raped, but sexually assaulted. You know, Tara Reid, who's now in Russia, apparently. I mean, come on. You know, I appreciate the question, but to me, if Joe Biden can be taken out, I'm not going to try to keep him in there just so we don't have to go up against Gavin Newsom or Michelle Obama.
Okay. Well, you mentioned. Thank you for that answer. Your analysis is always very well thought out. So let me ask for your analysis on RFK Jr., because you just mentioned him. Of course, he's very popular among a lot of independent media. Ed Dowd is now going to be the treasurer for the RFK Jr. campaign, by the way. And I have said that I support RFK as the Democrat nominee. I would love to see RFK versus Trump. But what are your thoughts on that whole scenario?
You just nailed it. Okay, I hadn't heard about Ed Dowd. I love Ed. I think for those who maybe I'm sure your audience is familiar, but you know, Ed, former BlackRock guy, this guy's wicked smart. I mean,
yeah.
One of the
he's
smartest
awesome.
Economic guys you'll ever talk to. So that's a smart move by RFK Jr. You know, surrounding yourself by good people, that might be a very good sign. If it's RFK versus Trump, hey, look, I would rather have Trump, but you know what? I'm not going to cry if it's RFK because as of all the possible Democrats that I've seen in 20 years, maybe longer than that, he's the only one where I'd be like, yeah, okay, well, we can get certain things done, okay? We can really expose COVID mania. We can really look at a lot of things that maybe Trump wouldn't look at. We can look at that under RFK. So I'm not an endorsement before anybody says, oh, Rucker just endorsed RFK Jr. No. I would love to endorse him as the Democrat nominee. If the general election
right.
is RFK Jr. versus Trump, I will be rooting for Trump with everything I've got. I will be pushing for him, campaigning for him. And if he loses to RFK Jr., it'd be like, well, at least it wasn't Gavin Newsom, Michelle Obama, or
yeah, you could still
Joe.
Live with that. But RFK Jr., by the way, I just learned, just recently tweeted out that he would pardon Julian Assange on day one if he were president. And in fact, he said he would erect a statue in honor of Julian Assange in Washington, D.C., which I thought was the best answer ever. Now, you know, Trump had the opportunity to pardon Julian Assange, and he failed to do so, at least in his first term. So, you know, here's a question. Would Trump do that given the situation now? I think probably so, is my guess. But do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, no, for sure. No, I think... Look, people throw up what he did or didn't do during his first term all the time. And I agree. Look, you know, you mentioned that RFK Jr. picked Ed Dowd. My gosh, I would love for Trump to make such good decisions
yes.
on personnel. You know, and I would love for Trump, you know, he comes out again, in favor of Assange. Yes, Trump, there's a lot of things that Trump should have done. He surrounds himself with. You know, people say, oh, he surrounds himself with idiots. I'm like, no, he doesn't surround himself with idiots. He surrounds himself with very smart people that are ideologically and philosophically wrong. Somebody whispered in his ear that he shouldn't pardon Assange, that he shouldn't pardon any of these various people, you know, that it would hurt him, his legacy or whatever, his ability to run for reelection or whatever. It looks Trump unleashed with a second term and no prospects for a future term after that. If he's legacy building, which is what we want. There might not be a better president when it comes to legacy building than a second term Donald Trump. And here's the thing. People say, oh, you know, legacy building is bad. No, folks. Legacy building is bad when you have bad people building legacy. When you've got somebody who loves the country, whose goal, I mean, and, you know, I know Trump loves America, but Trump also loves himself. And that's not necessarily a bad thing when his ideology is aligned with ours. So, yes, I would love for him to have a second term where he can start doing things that are going to put him down, permanently in history as changing the world, and pardoning Julian Assange would be a great first step.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it too in recognizing that one of Trump's failures in the first term, although again, hindsight is 2020. I'm not trying to accuse him of anything nefarious here, but one of the failures was just the people that he brought in to surround him, to work with him. They were not on board with we the people and our hope to restore the republic. And perhaps Trump was naive in that first term. He will not be naive in another term. I think he would go in there and just start kicking ass on day one, frankly. That's my take.
I agree. Well, people, I think, sometimes forget, you know, you go back in time, go all the way back in time to 2017. Okay. Before late 2016, early 2017, right when he's forming his administration. At that point, he's made deals to get into office. He's made deals to make things work. And he's being whispered in his ear by people like Reince Priebus, like Paul Ryan, like right. Chris Christie at the time, until Chris Christie had his whole debacle. Chris Christie was going to be a major player in the Trump administration before Bridgegate. Okay. So you've got all these various people, these rhinos that are there, and he's Trump. You could say that people say, oh, he puts too much stock into loyalty. True, but he's also very loyal himself. And these people, like Reince Priebus, like Rex Tillerson, H.R. McMaster, people that helped him get into office, he did reward them. Fast forward to a second Trump term, and at this point, it's like, you know what? He's been screwed over too many times by people that he trusted, his own vice right. president, his own, you know, multiple secretaries of state, multiple
and AGs,
AGs and chiefs of staff. So this time he's like, you know what? I'm putting in the people that I know that I can trust. And he does that. And, you know, it's Trump triggered. OK, Trump fully enabled. And we'll see what he can get done.
Yeah. And, you know, the executive power of the president is quite extraordinary. You know, Trump could fire the FBI director, and I believe under his executive power, I think he could frankly fire every FBI agent that exists today and essentially shut down the FBI and force a reformation of it just by the stroke of a pen, right? There's so many things he could do. And I think he held back in that first administration thinking that, you know, that his ideas would be respected, his orders would be carried out, so to speak. And that was not the case, but, you know, maybe a third time is a charm here. We'll see.
he went into this thinking, you know, operating America as the CEO of the United States of America. That's what he went into the Oval Office thinking. And he learned over 4 years that that's not how it works. You know, it is very different being president. You have things that you can do, things that you cannot do. And I think he's going to, hopefully, Lord willing, he will have smarter people, better advisors who are saying, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do, this is where we're going to get in trouble, this is where we're not. But he'll also have people that are going to be, you know what, I don't care, just do it.
Yeah.
Okay. President of the United States, just do it. There's going to be somebody who's going to object. If you want to get rid of the FBI, you can't get a room full of any 10 people in the world who are all going to be in agreement. Okay. So yeah, in the scenario that you just laid out, I hope that he has, you know, puts, I guess you could say, gumption or perhaps testicular
fortitude,
strength,
yeah.
Fortitude ahead of just, oh, you know, don't do that. That might get you in trouble, Don. No, get some brave people in the office.
I want to ask you about Ukraine and Russia next, but just a comment on what you just said. The Democrats never have any in-house White House attorney that tells them, no, you can't do that. That would be unlawful. They just do whatever the heck they want anyway. I mean, whether even throw the LGBT flag, you know, all over the White House, it violates who knows how many codes of conduct. They don't care. They just do whatever they want, and they get away with it most of the time because they do. But on to Ukraine and Russia. Now, it seems to me that Biden and his handlers have really been pushing to keep this war going and to escalate it as much as possible, perhaps because they miscalculated and thought that a war would make Biden more popular, but not if you're losing it. So where do you think things stand with Ukraine and Russia and the insane U.S. State Department at this point?
There's actually there's a couple of different questions there. Let's start.
Sorry about that. I'm stacking them up.
It works. I love getting it from multiple angles. But here's the thing: when you've got, we're looking at this scenario as, and it's very important. Let's start with this point. Yeah, Joe Biden and his handlers, we have to pretend like Joe Biden is essentially a kamikaze pilot. Okay. Is he playing like he's going to be in there in 2024? Absolutely. If Barack Obama called him and said, "Hey, Joe, we need you to tank tank your administration, get Kamala ready, or you know what, let's replace Kamala within the next couple of months, and then get ready to kamikaze your stuff, and we'll take care of everything with Burisma for you, and you can go off to La La Land, and you'll get pudding on Thursdays." He'll be like, "Okay, you know, you say where to go, Mr. President. I mean, Mr. Obama. I mean, what do I call you now?" You know, so let's be clear. When it comes to foreign affairs, when it comes to LGBTQA, whatever flags on the White House, when it comes to any of this stuff, Joe Biden literally is just being told what to do, and they will sacrifice him. Not even as a queen, he would sacrifice him as basically a knight or a, you know, somebody between a pawn and a queen. They'll sacrifice him if they need to. They're just hoping to do that at the last moment, or maybe they're hoping to not have to do that at all. Okay. So, but then now to answer your question, as far as what's going on with Ukraine, with Russia, this is where it really does take discernment. And I'm not going to claim to know all the answers, because that's above my pay grade. I think that's above anybody's pay grade who doesn't have basically direct access to the powers that be, the powers and principalities, you know, whether it's on our side, on the deep state, whoever. Unless we have that direct knowledge, all we can do is speculate. But my speculation is this, that it's not about let's make sure that Ukraine wins. They don't necessarily care about that. Or let's make sure that Russia wins. Or let's make all they care about. Is let's make sure that we have a narrative, that we have a reason to prolong this indefinitely. Let's use this, because whenever you've got a war, because this isn't a war, it's a regional conflict, let's be clear about that. But whenever you have this regional conflict that the entire world is at least partially focused on, it's a skeleton key for corruption, for smuggling money, for smuggling weapons, for smuggling humans, for smuggling influence, for smuggling all this stuff. That confusion of war, of this regional conflict, they don't care about winning or losing. They just care that the war goes on and on. You know, this is the war that never – I mean, that's what they really want. We got out of Afghanistan. We milked the Middle East dry for now. So you know what? Oh, I guess Eastern Europe. Let's do it.
Yeah.
That's my take.
Well, but I agree with you. But in doing that, you know, at some point they're going to run out of Ukrainian men. I mean, that day is approaching. You can throw all the tanks and artillery units you want, but unless you have men to run them, you don't have a fighting force. And it seems like it's getting close to the point where either Poland is going to have to maybe step up and say, "Oh, we'll send, you know, 50,000 troops," or NATO countries are going to have to start throwing troops directly into the mix. And then it is a world war at that point.
Absolutely. And again, we can speculate. There's all sorts of possibilities. You know, NATO gets involved and we do have a world war, or they just lose and it's time to move on to Taiwan or Iran or North Korea or West Africa. Or maybe they can stir something else up. Oh, you know, this big uprising in Brazil or whatever. I mean, who knows? Maybe it will shift away from where the geopolitics goes completely economic and we're focused on BRICS versus the United States. You know, and I'm not even talking about BRICS versus Western nations or BRICS versus the rest of the world. It would just be them versus us, because the rest of the world, for the most part, would be sitting there. Okay, well, you guys duke it out, and whoever's still standing, they've got our money, right? So, we can't know for sure, but I think you're absolutely right that whatever the play is, whether it is Poland, whether it is NATO getting directly involved, whether it is, you know, Russia saying, okay, you know what? We'll just make a deal. Time's up. We were supposed to keep this going until March 2024, and now time's up. So you guys get rid of Zelensky, and we'll pull out our troops. And Zelensky falls on his sword and says, "Hey, you know what? For the sake of my nation, I'm going to do this. But thankfully, I've been invited to become, you know, UN Secretary General. So now I'm whatever." I there's so many scenarios out there, Mike. I mean, we don't know what's going to play out. We know that we're getting played. That's the only thing we know for certain.
Good point. Yeah, a lot of this is theater for narrative purposes. And, you know, the State Department's fighting a narrative war much more than an actual kinetic war. But let me shift gears here a little bit. You have a remarkable capacity for remembering names and dates and events and news and then sort of connecting the dots on all of this, which is a lot of what you do at your website, Discern Report, or thelibertydaily.com. And by the way, I'm just going to nominate you. I mean, you should be Trump's press secretary. If Trump wins, they should bring you to Washington, D.C. to help explain things to the corporate media, because you would just wipe the floor with them with your knowledge. But can I ask you about your background? I mean, what did you do before what you're doing now? What's your background?
I'm very ashamed that prior to 2017, I was not helping my nation. I was helping myself, I shouldn't say ashamed, that's the wrong way to put it. I was in business. I had a couple of companies that I was running. Didn't really care. You know what? And I was a conservative, I was a Republican, I was all this other stuff. But it's like, oh, you know what? Whatever happens. I'm gonna go out and make mine, get my family, you know, supported. It's expensive out here in Southern California. Got private schools to pay for, got cars and homes. So prior to 2017, I was basically apolitical. I still follow politics, but I wasn't involved in it. It wasn't until I started realizing and watching how the media was going after Donald Trump, watching how the media was going after freedom, going after truth, that I realized, you know what, I need to go back to my roots.
Yeah.
My roots was in journalism. My very first job out of college was with the Edmond Evening Sun, which is a tiny newspaper in Edmond, Oklahoma. And I didn't even start off reporting. I started off in the copy department or ad department or whatever. And from there, ended up having a family, and that changed my trajectory. But in 2017, I decided, you know what, I can't raise my family and make money and do it from the sidelines. Is it possible to do both? Can I participate in politics, culture, faith, spreading the word, spreading the gospel, spreading the truth about what's happening in this planet, what's happening to our nation? And so that's when I decided, you know what, let's launch at the time NOQReport.com, which has now become DiscernReport.com. I was blessed to be able to start working with the Liberty Daily, 3 years ago? Gosh, it's been a while. And haven't looked back since. So my wow. My trajectory really has been, my history really is about getting there and being in corporate America all the way to the point to where I could no longer do that and decided to throw my hat in the ring as far as spreading the truth.
Well, you know, good for you for taking a stand for America, because it's apathy that leads to the destruction of nations. And you didn't go down that road. You stood up and you saw what was happening, and you realize
I went down
wrong.
That road for a couple of decades.
Yeah, well, yeah, but look, the timing for everybody is different. But I'm glad you mentioned NOQ Report, because a lot of our readers are familiar with that website. We link to NOQ Report a lot. Now it's Discern Report. But what did NOQ ever stand for? I never knew. What was that?
Exactly. When people ask me, why did you get rid of NOQ Report and redirect it? It's because I could never get it branded properly. Because initially when it launched, it was supposed to be Knock Report. Okay, NOQ was supposed to sound like Knock, but then I would go on interviews and they'd call it NOQ Report. No Q Report. I had one interview where they're like, oh, this guy's against Q. He's got the No Q Report. I had Knock Report, Noke Report. I had one interviewer, I'm not going to call him out, one interviewer who literally called it by three different pronunciations during one interview.
Wow.
It was supposed to stand for, the initial idea was supposed to stand for news, opinions, and quotes.
You're kidding me.
No, and I had
I never knew
banner.
That.
It was supposed to, nobody knew it. And it didn't, we used to have my show. My wife would say, you know, for those, I'm not kidding you, Mike. I had my wife, my beautiful wife, go on and say, for those of you who don't know what NOQ Report is, you know, and she did a 30-second clip that we ran every single show for like a year. It was just a poor, awful name. Okay. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, I failed at getting it branded. I thought that this could be like, like, you know, what does Uber mean, or what is, you know, whatever. I don't even know a good example. Nope. So we decided, you know what? Let's put our news site at AmericaFirstReport.com, because nobody will mispronounce that and everybody knows what that means. Let's put our aggregator and curator over at DiscernReport.com. Everybody will know what that means. And then let's just keep it simple. Not Nick Report, NOQ, whatever. Just keep it simple.
Okay.
So I appreciate that plug for.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating to know the history. And yeah, the letter Q became so politicized because of the Q movement that then anything with Q in it, suddenly there's all kinds of questions or theories about what that means. So thank you for answering that. Moving on, one of the subjects that you do cover a lot, of course, is the economic situation and currency and de-dollarization trends that appear to be happening globally. Now, we mentioned Ed Dowd earlier. Ed believes that we're far from losing dollar hegemony globally because of the debt markets, right? And he's a super sharp guy. You gotta pay attention to what Ed says. And yet at the same time, every day it seems you watch the news, every day there's another announcement from, you know, Brazil or Saudi Arabia or China about some other deal that bypasses the dollar as the currency for transactions. What's your take on what's happening globally with the petrodollar, its status, and will it survive the weaponization of the SWIFT system that the West carried out against Russia?
I love you. See, people ask the silliest questions. You ask amazing questions.
Oh, thank you.
Because you got to really pay. Your questions are right. You know, they are very squarely aligned with exactly what people need to know. Let's take it backwards from the end. As far as will we survive the weaponization? You know, the weaponization of the SWIFT system used against Russia. That was the wake up call for the world to start saying, "Oh my gosh, if they're going to do it to them, could they do it to us? Maybe we need to look at somebody else." And then you got the CCP going out there and other BRICS nations saying, "Hey, see what they did to Russia? You know, just stand by. Okay, we got you covered. We're building something over here. We're putting a team together. We got you covered here. You know, just wait until 2024, 2026, around that time." So yeah, as far as what we did with the SWIFT system, using it against Russia, using it, alerting the world that their perfectly safe money is not perfectly safe on this system, that was intentional. I think that was a wake-up call. Now let's go. You know, you mentioned Ed Dowd and his perspectives on it. I understand what he's saying, and he's absolutely correct. And I would never in a billion years ask, you know, Ed Dowd to try to go against anything he says when it comes to the economy. It'd be like, you know, going to Tom Brady and saying, "Hey, you know, I was watching your throwing motion. I got some tips for you." But, you
know, right.
I'm not going up against Ed Dowd. But with that said, I think there's one thing that Ed Dowd does miss. Okay. He's absolutely correct. When you look at the debt market, you cannot say, "Oh, it's, you know, you got all these people out there saying, oh, the dollar's dead. It's just, you know, snap of a finger and it'll be gone." That can't happen. Okay. That'd be like saying, "Okay, so we're going to take off the bottom six blocks in this Jenga tower and watch, it's not all going to fall." No, it will fall. The question is not whether or not it'll fall. And this is the part that Ed needs to understand. They know that it'll fall. The question is, where will it fall to, and when will they be ready to catch as much as they can after the fall? And obviously, this is where we get into central bank digital currencies, digital dollar, digital yuan, and eventually this one singular, this one world, you know, Fed coin, not the Fed coin, the unicoin, you've talked about many times over at naturalnews.com, or any of the various iterations of that with the IMF, with the BIS. With the, you know, in conglomeration with the United Nations and the World Economic Forum and the Council for Inclusive Capitalism. All these guys are looking, and it's not a question of when do we pull away from the dollar. It's a question of, okay, get all the pieces together so that when we do pull away from the dollar, when it does explode, that there will be a soft landing. And it's not a soft landing for you or me. It's just a soft landing for BlackRock. It's just a soft landing for the Fed. It's just a soft landing for, you know, all of the various nations and the rich people and the elites. Where we fall, they want us to be in disarray, because it'll be easier for them to say, "Here's your, you know, here's your vaccine passport, here's your digital ID, here's your new crypto wallet, or you know, central bank digital currency wallet. Don't worry about all these other ones. We took those out. Don't worry about Bitcoin. We took it out. here's your one world currency.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, please.
Actually, in particular, and don't forget the UBI also, because I think they're going to be offering a UBI, universal basic income, for people to accept the central bank digital currency. But right now we have the SEC going to war against Coinbase and Binance and the entire crypto space. They've named 67 coins as securities right now, which implies that they're in violation of the SEC, which is on this crazy power trip under Gary Gensler. It seems to me, I mean, you really just said it, they want to collapse crypto in order to kind of make way for the central bank digital currency, which is a centrally controlled Orwellian, you know, surveillance money system that no rational person would want any part of, except with the UBI through that system, a lot of oblivious Americans or Europeans would sign up for it. Hey, here's my free money. I have to, you know, do the thumb scan or the iris scan or the RFID chip implant or whatever, mark of the beast, but they need the money. But it's printed, you know, it's money that's losing value every single day. Whereas in the cryptocurrency world, there are strict limits on, you know, no government can print Bitcoin, which, thank God, right? So this is shaping up to be the most epic battle, I think, in financial history of the world. What do you think?
Yeah, you nailed it. It's funny how yes, you absolutely nailed it. Listen, people talk when it comes to the economy. I'm not talking about when it comes to religion or culture or politics or geopolitics or anything else. When it comes to money, okay, there's only one battle. It's not left versus right. It's not conservative versus leftist. It's not China and BRICS and versus the United States. There's only one battle that's going on economically. It's centralization versus decentralization. The good guys are the decentralizers. The good guys are the ones that say, you know what? We like the fact that Bitcoin and all these other cryptocurrencies are decentralized. A central bank digital currency built on similar technology is the exact opposite. Unfortunately, the vast majority of people don't understand that. And I'm not just talking about old people, young people, people in between. I'm saying the vast majority of people don't know this. Okay. Last study I saw showed that 34% of Americans are against a central bank digital currency. They're against a digital dollar. And the funny part is that you've got, I forgot which publication it was, but they were like, oh my gosh, this is great news. And I'm thinking to myself, 34%, that means that 66% are either completely in the dark or in support of having a digital dollar. We're done. If we don't get the word out, if we don't wake people up to what Gensler and what Powell and what everybody else is doing with this, then it doesn't matter what happens in Ukraine. It doesn't matter what happens on Election Day 2024. None of this will matter. You know, there's a reason why Henry Kissinger said, you know, we always talk about the first two in his warning. He said, you know, who controls the food supply controls the people. That's bad, and we're seeing that. He also said who controls the energy controls entire continents. That's bad, and we're seeing that. But it was that third part that's most important. Who controls the money controls the world. And he wasn't kidding. He meant it when he said it. And we're seeing that play out. So yeah, you nailed it when you said that they're going after crypto. Crypto is the biggest threat. You know, crypto is the Donald Trump of money.
Okay? I like that quote. Yeah, well said. Yeah.
So
Gensler's gonna have a hard time claiming that Bitcoin is a security or Ethereum, because he's previously stated they're not, and there's no one person at the top of Bitcoin that you can point to, you know, just a mythical name, you know, Satoshi. But aside from that, there's nobody that you can go after. And from a technical standpoint, even if they try to shut down Bitcoin, there are so many thousands of nodes running all over the world. They physically, I mean, electronically cannot shut it down. They can declare it to be something, but they can't stop people from using it. But there's one more factor in this, JD, or you want to comment on that?
Well, no, I agree. They wouldn't with anything they can't control, they'll just outlaw it, period. I mean, Bitcoin, they can just say, you know, they can't keep people from using it. They'll just tell people, hey, if you're caught using it, you're done. And that'll account for 98% of the population will be in the category of they don't want to break the law. Or they'll just say, okay, well, I guess we shouldn't go down that road, and they'll find something else. Oh, look, they said that the you know, this digital dollar is the same thing. Okay, well, see, yeah, I do Bitcoin, I do the digital dollar. People.
Yeah, they'll have a narrative.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, but one other factor in all of this that we've got to cover here. Are you okay for another 5 minutes or so?
I got 5 hours, brother. I can talk all day.
Okay, awesome. We have, of course, so many American workers are being made obsolete by gains in AI systems that are already replacing jobs at IBM and places like that. And then, of course, robotics. So, you know, bipedal robots replacing humans in warehouses like Amazon.com warehouses, self-driving vehicles for transportation and logistics, self-flying airplanes, that's coming. You know, the fact is that a lot of American workers, both blue collar and white collar, that is, if any of them even want to work anymore, because a lot of them aren't even doing that, just staying home and collecting whatever, but they're going to be, a large percentage will be obsolete. They'll be forced to live off of UBI. So they'll be on the CBDC system, getting the UBI money to buy groceries. And then as part of the compliance requirement for that system, they will be required to take new vaccines for every new pandemic that's rolled out. And you and I know these vaccines, of course, are harming and maiming and killing a large number of people. So it's kind of like, wow, they're just writing everybody off and making them take the death jabs in order to get paid to buy groceries. Wow. That's evil.
Yeah, it is. I'm not a big fan of Hollywood, and I never recommend a movie, except there's one movie I watched, not because it was a good movie, but I was watching it for research because somebody said, hey, you know, you need to see that movie. Not because it's a good representation of the future, but because it'll kind of get your brain going, you know, what that future could look like. And the movie was called Ready Player One.
Oh, yeah.
And in it, you know, they didn't explicitly say UBI. They didn't explicitly say AI controlling everything. But all of that was implied. All of that was implied that, and the only way that you could get to a society that was represented in this movie is if you have AI robotics. You have, you know, basically machines that are taking care of us. You know, I think that the most well thought out movie example of that was the humans at the end of WALL-E, Pixar movie. Where they're,
oh yeah, on their floating beds, yeah.
And, oh my gosh, somebody fell, get the robots to pick the person up, you know, yeah, on their floating beds. And then like one of the digital screens goes off and the lady's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know we had a pool, stuff like that. That's what they're hoping for. That I think that's what we would like it to seem like. And not when by we, I'm not talking about you and me, I'm talking about Americans envisioning the future. Maybe they can see that with UBI and AI that they're going to get to sit around and just do nothing. Reality is more closer to, I think, what they did in Ready Player One, where there's still a lot of risk out there, but we'll see. Bottom line, to answer your question, between those, we'll say the one thing of AI and robotics combined to make us obsolete, to be better than us at being taxi drivers, construction workers, you know, it'll be like, oh my gosh, that's a job. That job is too dangerous. So you can't do that. So we'll just get robots to do that. And it's like, oh, but people have been doing that for 100 years. It's like, yeah, well, you don't need to do it anymore. Go sit back and we'll fill up your account as long as you get vaxxed and as long as you don't post anything on Twitter that we don't like.
Well, right. So. And in Ready Player One, by the way, remember they were living in these stacked container apartment cities where, you know, everybody was just stacked in like animals, and it was all a metaverse, virtual reality world, like what Zuckerberg was trying to create, which has failed so far. They'll try again, but it was all a virtual reality existence, right? And you had all your wealth, all your assets, your experience was in this virtual reality world, which, by the way, a lot of the characters in that world kind of remind me of this idea of transgenderism, where people believe that you can be any gender you want. It's just by wishing it so. And this has come out in, you know, even healthcare organizations, even those tied to the Vatican are pushing transgenderism. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Yeah, that works in your online role-playing game. You can be a wizard or whatever, or an elf. But in the real world, a man can't become a woman, it actually turns out, no matter how hard you try.
Nope, absolutely not. Since you brought it up, and what would a discussion with Adams and Rucker be if we didn't talk about transgenderism? You know, you got the fake boobs being flashed at the White House. Could you imagine any other administration this happening? People ask me, you know, why I'm so concerned. And it's not about choice. You know, if you're for people's liberty, shouldn't you want them to be able to pick and choose, you know, what they want to be? And it's like, well, yes and no, as long as they can do whatever they want if they're a consenting adult. But it's when they start imposing that, indoctrinating, brainwashing, and even in many cases, forcing other people and forcing especially children to participate in it. And I could go on for 6 hours, so I won't. Yeah. I will say this. People ask me, why are you so concerned? Why can't you just – because that whole side will eventually die out. And so I say, look, transgenderism and LGBTQIA plus supremacy in general – has nothing to do with just, oh, it's a lifestyle. It's about forcing people, making them not understand the realities of this world. Imagine if you're a kid, okay, you're 8 years old, you got all these weird confusions going on, and somebody, a teacher and your parent and your whoever, they're able to brainwash you, indoctrinate you into thinking you're not a boy, you're actually a girl. Okay, so in this kid's mind, as he's growing up and he's seeing faith, you know, being taught about faith, being taught maybe about the Bible or whatever, being taught about science, but he sees, wow, so if I'm a boy but I'm actually a girl, then that means that only one of two things are possible. Either God, who they say is perfect, God made a mistake when he made me, or God doesn't exist at all. And that's the part that scares me, Mike, is knowing that they're breeding an entire generation of people, not that are confused, because kids have always been confused throughout, you know, the history of children. Okay. Kids get confused and they do stupid things. I get it. It's not because of the confusion. It's not because of the, you know, weirdness. It's not even just the horrible, horrible, permanent genital mutilation that many of these kids put themselves through or are put through by other people. It's not just that. It's the fact that you're taking an entire generation and you're basically making it to where, logically speaking, they're not going to be Bible believers. They're not going to grow to be faithful. They're going to grow thinking that sin is good. Good is evil. Evil is good. This is America. In 2030, we're all doomed. That's the part that scares me the most about it. And I'm sorry, but you brought it up. So we had to say
it. No, we appreciate hearing your analysis of that. I think our audience shares all of those concerns with you. I do as well. There's much more to this than just simple transgenderism. It's a spiritual war against humanity. But with that said, JD, guess what? We're out of time for today. Although this has been fascinating. This is going to be a fan favorite discussion. We got to have you back. You and we really dig into these issues in a deep way that we don't just scratch the surface. You know, you ever been on with interviewed by somebody who just has no clue what's happening in the world, right? We've all had that experience. And you're like, oh my God, like you almost have to give them a list of questions or they're not.
Mom. Yeah.
No. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Right. We're not trying to embarrass anybody. It's just that it's great to have an informed, intelligent conversation. So let me plug your websites here before we go. TheLibertyDaily.com. This is, I think arguably the best news aggregation website out there. Timely, nails everything. Just look at this. Really fantastic. And then your website, JD, is discernreport.com. And, articles every day. Your writing, your analysis is truly outstanding. So, folks, visit both of those websites. Support JD Rucker. And everybody, you can share this video as well. So thank you, JD. This has been a lot of fun. We got to do it again.
Absolutely, Mike. Thank you. Blessing as always. God bless you, sir. And God bless your team. They are fantastic.
You too as well. And thank you for participating in our Breaking Point documentary series. We have another episode coming out with you in it. I was just looking at that 2 days ago. That's coming out shortly. Thank you for everything that you do. And we'll talk again soon. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, JD. Have a great day. And thank you all for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. And of course, you can repost this video. Feel free to do so. And just give credit to JD Rucker. Link to his site. And, if you wish, use Brighteon.com. You can repost this video on your own channel on Brighteon. So thank you for watching today. God bless America. God bless each and every one of you watching. I'm Mike Adams. Take care. Today's interview is brought to you by several companies that have preparedness supplies that I'd like to make you aware of. We thank them for their support. HoplightArmor.com has American designed and American made body armor right here. This setup fits 95% of the population. Use discount code RANGER to save a little bit on these, and they have many other products, and they have sappy plates and so much more. Check it out, HoplightArmor.com. We've also got ShieldArms.com, which is one of my favorite manufacturers because they have this folding AR-15. It's a patented mechanism, but they also do custom Glocks, and they have Glock magazines that are really top of the line. Check it all out at ShieldArms.com. The Z9 Glock 43, yeah, that sounds like something that we should be talking about soon. Stay tuned for that. And then finally, also want to mention ARC Seed Kits. They're on my desk here. This is the heirloom non-GMO seeds. You're going to need seeds in order to, of course, grow food and supplement your food supply. If you go to arcseedkits.com, you'll find this seed kit. It's available now. Use discount code RANGER. You'll get savings on many of their products, not all of them, but many of them you'll get savings. And with this combination, think about it. You need to be able to grow food, but also to defend your property. And that's why we talk about firearms. That's why we talk about body armor where it's legal to own that. I don't think it's legal in New York State, so they won't ship it there. But you need to have garden seeds. You need to be growing food. You need to be competent in firearms and self-defense. And consider body armor depending on where you are and what circumstances you might face. This is all to help you get prepared to survive whatever chaos may be coming out there. You're going to need food, you're going to need ammo, you're going to need self-defense. So thank you for supporting our sponsors here at Brighteon Broadcast News. All right, Mike Adams here with a major announcement. I'm launching a new show with a new focus that I think you will find fascinating. And it launches in about 2 weeks or so. The show will have a co-host, and the concept of the show arises out of my several months-long investigations into decentralized finance, decentralized applications, basically using technology for to achieve human freedom through decentralization. And the fact that the SEC is going crazy against crypto right now, Gary Gensler, you know, targeting basically almost everything in the crypto space. The central banks feeling really threatened right now because of what's going down. And also the central banks wanting to somehow corral people into a central bank digital currency coming up in the next few years and trying to figure out how to do that, which probably won't succeed because nobody wants to be a slave, well, except the oblivious masses, I guess, but informed people don't want to be a slave to that system. And so now is the time for humanity to make a choice to be either free or to be slaves. Using technology, humanity can choose to be free. But if they allow the overlords to exploit technology as a system of control and surveillance, then humanity will forever be enslaved under that system. But it'll be convenient, don't get me wrong. If you agree to be a slave, it's very convenient. You'll have a universal basic income. You'll qualify for loans and whatever. You'll never be blocked from anything as long as you go along with the system. But you have to take your vaccine jabs too, by the way, the depopulation, bioweapons, which will eventually kill you. So that's part of the deal. If you don't want to be free, you will be enslaved and then you'll be dead. But a lot of people, frankly, have already signed up for that and a lot more will. But not you, not you and I, and not the people that we're trying to reach. So this new show, I don't yet have the title for it. I've played around with some ideas. But essentially the concept is it's the search for the real-world applications of decentralized technology that's rooted in, of course, control over your own money, control over your speech, control over your future, and your privacy. There's a strong privacy emphasis in all of this because that's a basic human right. It comes down to human dignity. And what we're going to do for this show, and this is my invitation for anyone listening, if you're involved in these various projects, we're going to do about one show a week to start with, by the way. And we may change that. We may increase that if the show becomes more popular. But with each episode, we'd like to interview somebody who represents a project. It could be a cryptocurrency project. It could be a decentralized applications technology. It could be some kind of software or utility. It could be a decentralized exchange that people can use to, I don't know, swap coins. It could be somebody that's coding plugins that enable people to use cryptocurrency or dApps in creative ways. It could be Web 3.0 tech. You know, it could be lots of things. I'm trying not to limit it to any narrow focus because I want to hear about all kinds of solutions. And so here's the offer to anyone who wants to come on. I'll give you an email address to contact me, by the way. Oh, yeah. We also want to hear if anybody's got any tips, any stories, anything interesting going on that maybe we need to know about, or I don't know, up and coming news, press releases, or maybe you've got the inside scoop on Gary Gensler. I don't know. But if you're interested in being a guest or participating in the show in any way, here's what you do. You just email my team at the following email address. It's situationupdate@protonmail.com. Situationupdate@protonmail.com. And in the subject line, just please put, idea for the new show, or related to the new show, or a guest for the new show, something like that. Just talk about the new show. And then our team will look through it. And we're open to suggestions. We're going to go through the suggestions and we're going to put together some stories and maybe an editorial calendar of different guests to bring on. Oh, and by the way, earlier today I interviewed Mike Winner, who is the co-founder of the Qortal project, Qortal. And I had interviewed previously Jason Crow, who's also one of the co-founders of Qortal. And I'm so impressed with the Qortal project. Of course, I'm going to invite those guys back onto this new show, maybe a few weeks down the road. But I'm so impressed with Qortal because I love their philosophy and what's motivating them. And when I was interviewing Mike Winner today, he said something really important that I very much resonate with that's, I think, going to drive this show a lot. And he said that the problem as he sees it with too many crypto projects or decentralized finance in general is that they're just focused on buy low, sell high. It's just this trading game of a currency or a coin or a token. And that ultimately all it is about people first getting into it by trading fiat for crypto and then trying to gain in the crypto space against other people. So for every winner, there's another loser. Or sometimes for one winner, there are many losers, a lot of people losing a lot of money. And then the ultimate goal is just to get back out of the crypto into fiat so you can have more money to buy a Lamborghini, which seems so shallow and stupid to me. And also, Mike Winner agrees with that. It's like, really? This is your goal, is to just take money from people so you can buy a Lamborghini? That's just beyond shallow, and it's a waste of time. And frankly, we are not interested in that. We are interested in using this technology to help humanity achieve freedom from tyranny. And that's going to take a lot more than just, FOMO and buy low, sell high. And, it's going to the moon and pump and dumps and rug pulls. And by the way, since I've been investigating the crypto space and talking to a lot of people and interviewing people and watching a lot of videos, oh my goodness, I hear about these things all the time. The rug pulls, the scams, the Ponzi schemes, the con artists, the fraudsters. It's true. That exists in the crypto space. There's no question about it. But at the same time, there also exists some really innovative, pro-humanity, compassionate, ethical people who are visionaries for the future of the human race. And that's what we want to help bring out here. That's who we want to connect with because those are our values. We want humanity to achieve freedom. And it's not even about, buy low, sell high. It's really about the idea, what if you could just keep what you earned? What if you just had honest money, let's say, that wasn't stolen from you all the time by corrupt governments printing more fiat currency, which is what they routinely do. They're stealing from you every day. They're confiscating the value of your productivity.
And that's why I said from day one, as I was looking at different cryptocurrency projects and talking about it, it's like, I don't care if these ever go up. If they just stay where they are, I'm thrilled, because I don't trust the banking system. I don't trust the central banks, the fiat currency, the governments, any of that. And so that's part of our approach here, is to say, hey, let's not just talk about projects that are, oh, it's only about a coin, it's only about a token, it's only about, you know, people who are pushing whatever kind of, I don't know, speculative price increases or other such nonsense. No, let's talk about how we implement these technologies to help create a more free future for humanity. That means we have to have applications for all these things. If it's digital money, we have to have applications for the digital money. Where do people spend it? How do people use it to exchange goods and services with each other, even, let's say, at the local farmer's market? You know, what do people do with digital money other than just try to sell it and trade it for fiat and buy a Lamborghini? Surely there must be some other use for it, and that's what we're trying to get to. And in my opinion, digital money has some pretty amazing properties, such as the fact that it's all borderless. You can transfer it anywhere around the world almost instantly, or within a few minutes, let's say. And if set up correctly, then you know, no one else can control it other than you. And if it has privacy features, then it's even more difficult for anybody to confiscate it or to track it or use it as a surveillance tool against you. So those are, you know, very valuable features and so on that we want to look into. So in other words, let me say it this way. I've seen shows on YouTube over the years, especially during the crypto hype years, the big bubble, the big run-up that ended with FTX. I've seen a lot of channels that were just, I mean, let me be honest. A lot of channels that were just dweebs and morons pumping coins to try to make a buck, you know, shills getting paid, whatever. We've all seen that. I have zero interest in that. It's boring. It's pathetic. It's a waste of time. Life is short. My God, we have to be smarter than that. I've also seen shows like CoffeeZilla, who is known as more of an investigative researcher, and he exposes a lot of crypto scams. And I think that's important too, by the way. I think CoffeeZilla has done some good work. I don't agree with everything he's ever done, by the way, but I think that we need people like that to do investigations and to look into issues. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to replace CoffeeZilla or anything like that. That's not my role. What I am trying to focus on as a platform owner, remember that, you know, I built Brighteon.com and Brighteon.social, and we have multiple publishing websites, and we have commenting systems, and we have, well, tipping systems that we're rolling out. We have e-commerce sites and many more yet to come, by the way. There's a lot more we're rolling out that you don't know about yet that we'll be talking about this year. But as a platform owner, one of my goals is just to apply cryptocurrency so that users can benefit from the properties of crypto. I want users, for example, to be able to tip each other or to tip content creators. Or I want to be able to reward users for their attention using something like an attention token. You know, like, hey, if you watch this video, you might get a small reward in some kind of coin of some kind, perhaps. You know, kind of like what Brave does with the basic attention token, the BAT. Or I might want to say that, hey, if you purchase something from our store, you get reward points back. But instead of them just being points in our central ledger, what if they were crypto coins that you could keep? They're in your wallet. You can do whatever you want with them. You could even sell them to someone else. So the loyalty points become an ecosystem of commerce, of free market principles. You can buy and sell and trade loyalty points if you want, and then redeem them in our store. You know, I mean, that seems to be a self-evident concept, and I would love to see that happen. You know, because I believe in giving people options and freedom to choose what you want to do. And so with my show, the new show that I'm announcing here today, it's not you know, it's not the two examples I gave. It's not CoffeeZilla investigations. It's not FOMO, hurry up and buy everything. Ah, it's going to the moon. No, it's not that. Thank God. It's a show. It's a serious show among adult-minded people who are mature, who want to build a better world, who want to create infrastructure using decentralized technologies, which includes DeFi, but also distributed apps and so on, to build a better world through actual applications. How do we apply this technology? How do we use it? How do we make it part of our daily use of tech so that everybody's not just tied to the banks, you know, tied to the big tech giants and whatever they allow you to do, right? I want to live in a world where your speech is uncensorable, because I've been censored a lot over the years. And I had to build platforms in order to be able to exercise speech, right? And allowed the other people to use those platforms as well. And so there's free speech. But I want to live in a world where your speech is uncensorable because it's distributed through a peer-to-peer network. I also want to live in a world where your money is uncensorable and unconfiscatable or non-confiscatable and even, frankly, untraceable. Because it's no government's business what you're doing with your own money that you already earned. It's yours to do with what you want. And so we've got to get out of this infantile phase of, you know, FOMO and get rich and buy low, sell high. And people spending their lives just looking at numbers on a screen like, I'm going to get more money than the next guy. No, you're not. You're wasting your life doing that. We need to apply this tech and do something real with it. We need to uplift the human experience. And we can do that together with these concepts. We can help people be more free. We can help people escape tyranny, literally, physically escape in some cases when they're fleeing a tyrannical regime like Venezuela. They can use decentralized finance to help themselves take assets with them, right? And we've talked about some of those use cases before. But I want to live in a world where even the U.S. State Department can't seize your domain name because you're using a system that doesn't rely on domain names, which, by the way, the Qortal system, Qortal.org, if you're curious, Qortal doesn't use domain names. And you can chat, you can publish websites, you can build apps, you can communicate, you can buy your own names there and everything. It's a whole ecosystem that doesn't need permission from any government, any corporation, not from any, you know, top-level domain provider or registrar or anything. And that's one reason why I love the Qortal system, by the way. Although it's still going to take us some time to build an app for that system because it's kind of new. Well, it's brand new, so our developers are going to take some time. But that's just one of many projects that we are looking at or learning about, or my devs are looking over for implementation. I've got documents that have come to me from other projects that are all about integration, you know, documentation, APIs, web 2.0 implementations, web 3 implementations, you know, different ways to do this. And I'm looking at all these options and trying to upgrade my own knowledge base in this as quickly as possible, because I see how rapidly big tech and big governments and big banks are cracking down on humanity. Time is short. We don't have forever to figure this out. We had, dare I say, damn well better get off our asses and build the system that we want to live in, because if we don't, trust me, there's a globalist prison system being built for us, which will be the default system if we don't create something better. Which is why, by the way, it burns me to hear about infighting and sabotage and collapsing of various projects. I was asking Mike Winter today about that. It's like, you know, what is it about crypto projects that so many of them just collapse, you know, and they implode, and, you know, they gather like 10 or 12 people, and then, you know, 2 years later, they're all turning on each other and stabbing each other. And Mike Winter was like, well, you know, sometimes it brings out that greed side of humanity, and a lot of these projects do self-destruct. And I think that's because a lot of people are really short-sighted or just small-minded, or just greed-driven in some cases. And we've got to get past that in society. We've got to think about the big long-term picture of how we build a better infrastructure, the kind of world in which we wish to live, a world where you're not criminalized because you wanted to purchase, you know, a Christian book from a Christian bookstore, let's say. You know, there's a story about this that's kind of related. I want to share this for you. This is amazing. From Revolver.News, Darren Beatty's website. Here's the headline. This is just astonishing. Guy gets accused of racism by his doorbell. Amazon shuts down his entire smart home. So this guy, and I don't know if he's black or white. It doesn't matter. This guy had a fully automated smart home, Amazon Alexa, Amazon Echo, and I've never understood why people would be naive enough to install spy devices in their own home. But people do. It's especially younger people, by the way, they think it's just normal to be spied on all the time. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? So anyway, this guy had his smart home all set up, everything, you know, locks on the doors and lights and access and garage doors and everything. And what happened was a package delivery guy from Amazon, I think it was from Amazon, reported that this guy's doorbell, which was one of these smart doorbells, you know, that have cameras on and everything, that the doorbell called him something racist. Like, as if doorbells are screaming the N-word or something. Which just, I mean, that just seems insane. but can you imagine? So this package delivery person said, the doorbell called me whatever, the N-word. Amazon shut down this guy's account and the control of everything in his home. Everything that was Amazon related, you know, the smart home stuff. They shut down everything, which these days can also include appliances, your refrigerator, you know, your lights, who knows, maybe your air conditioning in the near future, your electricity, your computers, right? So with no due process, just one complaint by one delivery person that said the doorbell was racist, which sounds insane, but there we go. Amazon shut down this guy's entire account. And the guy contacted Amazon, is trying to figure out, like, what's going on? And they gave him an attitude like, oh, you know what you're doing, you filthy racist. Right? And this guy's like, what? What are you talking about? And he implied he's the same skin color as the delivery person. I don't know what that is. Maybe they're both black or they're both white or whatever. I don't know. Maybe they're both Asian or Hispanic. But in any case, this guy had to show, he had to prove his innocence. He had to upload videos to the Amazon customer service team to prove that his doorbell didn't utter racist words at the package delivery guy. And then, as it says in the story, quote, despite promptly submitting video evidence immediately upon learning of the issue, he says, my account remained locked. And it was the onset of Labor Day weekend. And let's see, it wasn't until Friday afternoon I received confirmation that the investigation had started. So they launched an investigation. And I was told to expect a response within 2 business days, meaning not until the following week at the earliest. In the end, my account was unlocked on Wednesday. This was after the Labor Day weekend, with no follow-up email to inform me of the resolution. The incident stands as a stark reminder of the need for better customer service and a more nuanced approach to incident management. I have a better answer for this guy. And, you know, sorry for being so blunt, but that's my style. Why are you dumb enough to put this, to install smart home stuff in your house that's controlled by some evil corporation that can shut off your life? Why are you that stupid to do that? Frankly, I mean, you blame Amazon and you say, oh, they need better incident management. No, you need better sense. You need to just have keys to open your door. You need to not have Amazon Alexa devices listening to you. Amazon Echo, you know, smart doorbells. You don't need a smart doorbell. You don't need all this garbage. It's, I mean, you can only really blame yourself. for being dumb enough to have all this spyware all installed all over your home. Of course it's going to go off the rails at some point. Of course it's going to be used against you. Of course you're living in a slave state if you volunteer to have all this spy equipment installed in your home. How could you be so stupid, frankly? It's like, what did you expect was going to happen? Did you think these corporations are going to protect your privacy and your rights and your due process? Man, grow up. You're not living in that world. You just installed Amazon spy devices that are all tied into the CIA servers, by the way. And everything that you say in your home is recorded on Amazon servers. We've already seen that. That's been proven again and again. And you maybe you even have like a Roomba vacuum cleaner with a camera on it. That thing's cruising around your house taking pictures of everything, including pictures of you on the toilet. We've seen those stories. If you're stupid enough to put roving cameras in your home and they run around and take pictures of everything, oh, here's your gun collection, oh, you know, here's you and your girlfriend humping on the couch or whatever, all this stuff is going, oh, here's you taking a dump again, you should fully expect that all that's going to end up on the internet somewhere. Why? Because it's a spy machine. Don't be so gullible. Don't be so naive. But my point in all of this is that this is what CBDCs represent. This is central bank digital currencies, surveillance money, you know, centralized control over everything in your life. And they will turn off your life if they don't like what you're doing or what you're saying or how you're voting or who you donated to or maybe even just the way you look, because, you know, there's a war on white people right now for some reason. There's a war on women. There's a war on Asians. The entire college system in California discriminates against Asians. Same thing in New York. If you're Asian, your chances of getting into a university now have plunged by something like 80%. Even though you might have great scores, high GPA, everything, extracurricular activities. Oh, you're Asian? Oh, you're not allowed. They have to save those slots for other people for, you know, woke purposes. You see? So we've got to find a better way to use technology to protect our privacy and protect our futures together. To protect us from the authoritarian tyrants, to protect us from the Amazon.coms of the world that are evil centralized corporations. And we, the people, have got to have a bigger vision about this than to just focus on FOMO, buy low, sell high. No, I'm sorry. That's retarded, okay? Again, I'm not going to apologize, but I'm just going to speak bluntly. That's retarded. We got to think bigger than this. We have to think about how we build a society where we can be free. A society where we have control over our own finances, where we have control over our own speech, our own identities, our own metadata. That's the kind of society that I want to help build, because that's the world in which I want to live. So that's the focus. I know that might have been a long explanation, but that's the focus of this new show. I'm still thinking about the title. Again, I'm going to have a co-host. We're going to do this about once a week to start with. And we want to talk to interesting people who have interesting projects that can help set humanity free. I've already talked to both of the co-founders, or at least two of the co-founders of Cordal. I'd love to get somebody on from Monero, for example. I want to get people on from different projects. Does anybody have a way to make Bitcoin more private? I mean, I haven't seen anything that seems to work yet, but maybe there's something I don't know about. What ideas are out there? What kind of projects are out there that are a bigger vision than just, again, buy low, sell high, FOMO, going to the moon, rug pull, blah, blah, blah. Forget that. Big projects, big thinkers, change the future. It's about more than money or value or digital money. It's about human freedom, which means human existence. The sustainability of human civilization depends on us getting this right. And time is growing short, so we better get this right. And maybe I'm behind the curve. Maybe there are people that are already, you know, years ahead of me, and they're laughing at me right now. Oh, man, how could you be so far behind? We've already built the system, and here it is. And they roll it out, and it's a giant holographic orb. It's like, ah, everything you want's already done. Okay, great. Show me. Let's talk about it. If it already exists, then that's awesome. I'm open to that. I'd love that. So that's my offer. You can reach me at situationupdate@protonmail.com with your suggestions, or if you want to be a guest or you have a project or anything like that. Or if you are offended by the fact that I called people retarded for putting spy machines in their home, you can also comment on that. Don't call me retarded. Okay, whatever. You install spy devices all over your home. You deserve that label. If that's you, that's probably not you listening to this, but you know, there's a lot of people out there that do that. And those are the same people, by the way, who want CBDCs. They're like, I love government giving me like totally trackable, programmable money. I think it's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, wait until they turn off your wallet, and then it's not so awesome, is it? Because one day they're coming for you, by the way. Oh, and you know, this is a message for the Muslims out there too, you know? So this is what's interesting. It's tough to be a Muslim in America. Now, it was really tough after 2001 because, of course, there was pretty much a cultural war against Muslims, which was entirely undeserved because 9/11 was actually pulled off by the CIA and the deep state and the Bushes. It was no fault of any Muslims. I mean, that's a whole separate podcast, but the media taught Americans to hate basically anybody that looked Middle Eastern, right? So that was just blatant discrimination and racism against Muslims and you know, anybody that was at a mosque and whatever. And that was just years of abuse. And then that turned around under, well, the last few years, where Democrats were really embracing more Muslims because they were electing more Muslims into Congress, like the Somali Muslims, you know, and just being more open about, you know, having Muslims as part of America, and it was more tolerant about Muslims. And then now, here's what's funny. Now, Muslim parents don't want their children to have their genitals mutilated in the transgenderism gaslighting operation that's being pushed by the radical left. So now leftists in America are saying that Muslims are bad again, because they say Muslims are like white supremacists because they don't want their children to be LGBT. So you see, even now, once again, Muslims are on the enemies list of intolerant leftists who can't stand the fact that they can't own your children and mutilate your children in the name of, you know, whatever LGBT agenda they're pushing. Now, this is not specifically, I don't mean to talk about any one specific group. My point is that any group can be targeted. And any group can have their money taken away. Any group can have their rights taken away, their freedoms taken away, if we don't live in a free society. So those of you listening, maybe you're Hispanic. Guess what? One day they could stage an event and they could blame, you know, Mexicans, or they could blame Venezuelans or whatever. And then all of a sudden, everybody who's Hispanic is suddenly, you know, caught in the crosshairs of some kind of media gaslighting campaign to generate hatred. Or there could be hatred against, you know, black people or Asian people. I mean, again, this is how the media plays us all off against each other. Well, I mean, what about Russian people? Right now, you know how hard it is to be Russian in America because of all the media-induced hatred against Russia? I mean, it was insane. They were all over the world, like, canceling Russian race car drivers at NASCAR. You know, the guy's like, I'm Russian race car driver, you know, and all of a sudden he's evil because of whatever's going on in Ukraine and Russia. So you can't be a Russian race car driver. You can't be a Russian tennis player. You can't be a Russian artist. Did you know Russian artists are being banned from art exhibits because they're Russian? It's got nothing to do with Putin or Zelensky or Ukraine or war or tanks or anything. It's like, this is a Russian artist over here. It could be a Russian ballet dancer. It could be a, you know, a Russian yoga master or whatever. I mean, Russian sports fitness expert. Could be just anybody who's Russian. Now they're subjected to all this hatred. I mean, what the hell is that? That's my point, is that no group is safe when tyranny runs amok. And did you know a lot of that tyranny comes from money printing? It comes from the central banks. It comes from fiat currency. It comes from corrupt governments that print money and use it to buy influence and to pay off people, you know, like the Biden crime family, paid off with all kinds of bribes out of Ukraine and so on. It is a totally corrupt system. And we will never be free as human beings as long as that system persists. So we have to choose a different system. We have to choose not to be slaves. We have to choose not to allow ourselves to be manipulated to fight each other or to discriminate against each other based on ethnicities or skin color or even sexual preferences or country of origin or what have you. I mean, this is our way out of the tyranny, is to stop allowing the system to turn us against each other and stop allowing the system to confiscate your money, control your life, suppress your speech, rig your elections, you know, declare you to be an extremist or a criminal or a terrorist. Sometimes like after 9/11, just because you're Muslim or just because you came from the Middle East or just because you even just look Middle Eastern. I mean, it was, man, you know who the worst racists are in society? It's the media. The media is always turning races against each other. It's all social engineering and psychological programming and deliberate trauma to make races hate each other. And you and I are above and beyond all of that. We have transcended that silly, petty nonsense, but we still live in a world where a lot of people are sadly easily manipulated by the corporate media or governments or propaganda or the CDC or what have you, or the central banks, and that's what we're trying to escape. So we build a future based on freedom, and the technology enables us, helps us do that. The cypherpunk manifesto of controlling our own future and not having tyrannical regimes monitoring us, watching us, controlling us. We can build a better future together, and that's what this show is all about. At least that's my intention. You know, we'll see how it goes. Maybe we do three shows and we're like, this isn't working. But we're going to try it. And if the shows are educational and interesting, we'll do more. So thank you for your suggestions, and thank you for caring about all these issues and for your understanding as we take this journey together. And I look forward to hearing from you. So again, I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, in case you didn't know that, the publisher of naturalnews.com. I'm one of the most banned voices in the world. I've been, banned and not just shadow banned, not just deplatformed, but just completely wiped off of every platform that is controlled by the establishment. So I had to build my own, and now I'm ready to build more infrastructure for a free humanity. So join me in that, and maybe we can achieve this together. Thanks for listening. Take care now.